Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode
194.
This episode, well, these are the fun ones. This is another overrated, underrated cigar brands in the cigar industry. Cue the fireworks, cue the tears, cue whatever you want. These are always fun to record. So hope you guys enjoy the episode. Let's get into it. Permission granted, Captain. Major?
I think I'm getting close to figuring out
Major?
The OBS thing with recording here, because I'm learning it for D&D.
How are you?
I was saying a couple weeks I might have this figured out.
Really?
To where I can record it on my end and switch screens, and if we do a full screen,
yeah,
where you're showing an article or something, we'll be... Let me try to do this.
You can essentially crop it out.
We'll be on the side somewhere.
Gotcha. Oh, that'd be sweet.
Or we'll be paired somewhere so that you can see the full screen here.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, a little something just more aesthetically pleasing than fucking Zoom, you know?
Yeah.
Zoom serves its purpose, but for fuck's sake, you know?
Like, that's made it work using Premiere.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm surprised that I've gotten as far as I have with, like, everything and Premiere and all that. So, and I love Premiere. I love using it. It just, you know, Zoom has its limitations, right? So... Why are we talking about this right now? I don't know.
Everybody's like, wait, you know what? I've been tuning in since episode blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I know you guys always start your show with just random shit, but this is getting real weird.
Yeah. We had the last few weeks, we were like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I never check our YouTube, and I really probably should.
Yeah.
But I saw one of our later videos that we just did. Someone goes, took a really long time to get to the review.
Yeah. Well, I put out a poll. I put out a poll as far as like whether or not people would want to see both. And that's why I'm splitting them now. Because Some people just want to see the review. And you can do chapters in YouTube. Like, you can cut up the episode. But like, I just don't want to work harder that way. I would rather just like, you know, produce two videos and put them out there. I don't know what's best, but either way, it's not that hard to get to the reviews. I mean, it's like kind of like, yeah. It's a podcast.
Just hit around 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And if it's still not there, just go another five over.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot more with the YouTube now because, you know, it's one of those things where I haven't put a lot of concentration into it. It's just kind of a secondary effort. But I see what it could potentially do and how people interact from a visual perspective. So... just got to be a little bit more intentional and focused around YouTube. Because some people like to watch, which is fucking weird, creepos. One of these days, I'm going to come out with just my asshole is going to be in the camera. And be like, yeah. You like that? You like that, you dirty little bitch?
Yeah.
But I feel like YouTube's got so many restrictions now. That's the problem, dude. Like, if you say the wrong thing, you're done. Like, you're off.
I know. And, you know, it's not like we're welcomed with open arms being in the cigar community on YouTube.
Definitely not.
That.
Yeah, definitely not.
And I don't have some beautiful titas.
Right.
You know? And like,
I think even YouTube now is putting a little bit of a hardcore, you know, a full court press on the boobs being out too. They're really they're restricting a lot of content.
Yeah, and I just it's hard to slice yourself out of a little community on YouTube anymore.
Nearly impossible. Some people just, dude, if you talk about like conspiracy theories, like anything conspiracy theory related, like government, like you're off. They just kick you off. Like, you're done. It's fucking crazy. So let's not talk about that. Oh shit. I didn't mean to do that. Spinny wheel of death. Oh, it was an interesting first one that popped up.
Yeah, but see, back to the OBS thing, I'll be able to target a window on my machine to reference. So it's like...
Right. No, I know. Yeah, I know how it works. You don't want to know which one manufacturer just popped up when I accidentally hit that. Total accident. But with that, because these are very packed-filled shows, there's a lot of discussion... They're very topical, obviously, because of the nature of the title of the show, which is overrated, underrated. We're back. We're back. We're back,
you
baby.
You know what's overrated?
Coffee?
Us.
Yeah, we kind of are. I wonder. I'm surprised no one's ever said, you know what's really overrated? You guys.
I keep hearing about Hot Ticket, but I like listening to one episode, and they're fucking total jackasses.
Because we kind of are overrated. And I think a lot of people think we're overrated, and that's fine. Yeah, I don't care. You know, it doesn't bother me, but
it's so weird.
It's true.
Like, the older I get, the less I care about people that I don't know's opinion.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That's just called maturing, you know? And I've always said I'm a petty Betty. So I will lash out at people that come with fire. And more so now, I'm just kind of like, yeah, go fuck yourself. Like, because here's the thing. Anybody who bitches and complains to that degree or like trolls to that degree or wants to insert their opinion, their life isn't going great. You know what I mean? So like in most instances, I just feel bad. Like when you're filled with that much anger, it's like your life is just not going great.
Yeah. And like, I learned so much profound stuff. Now I know this is going to cause some diverse opinion, but I'm on a mental health kick. I'm on the psychology train. I'm on the make my life better, make other people's life better.
Yeah, you really are, aren't you?
Yes. I've been listening to a lot of things and planning a lot of new fun passion projects.
Yeah.
And
look at you. Look at you go.
Yeah. This one may or may not be my purpose in life. Remember that was a question you asked me?
What's your purpose in life? I've never asked you that.
Or like,
I think what I said was, are you going to get your shit together? If you interpreted it as what's my purpose in life, then yeah, well, they're the same.
I think the question was like, what's your biggest achievement?
Oh, you're talking about Chris questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, it's yet to been realized.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people would say they're kids, but you didn't do that, did you?
No. I mean, they are. Ultimately, but
well, you didn't say it though.
I have a new passion thing that I'm working through.
Yeah, tell us.
You want to know now?
Dude, why are you going to sit on here and go, well, there's this thing that I really want to do and I think it's my purpose in life. Well, on to the next topic.
Like, it's called a hook.
Fucking know.
And the hook is intended to make you listen to future episodes of the Hot Ticket.
Yeah, sure.
Find out on episode 200. You're going to find out about what Chris has been cooking up.
Dude, I really hate when people do that on podcasts. That drives me nuts.
Hey, hit that like and subscribe button and then stick around, because at the end, I'm going to tell you how to solve your biggest problems.
Yeah.
But
shit's old.
So, yeah, mental health and all that stuff has been a big part of my life in the last...
Oh, fuck. Are you going to go to school for psychology?
Kinda. Hold on. So
6 months. Oh no.
So 4 months, right? So 4 months of really crazy stuff. Both witnessing the effects it's had on family, my children,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff, right?
Right.
And I've had issues mentally. I mean, clearly, for decades.
won't argue. Continue.
But behind this jovial, goofy facade, which is really truly me, there's a lot of just really repressed feelings about a lot of things that I've learned to control in a lot of ways to probably benefit and detriment. But that said, I was helping Kale grow as my son, noticing that there was behavioral stuff coming out that were totally blindsided me, blindsided a lot of people, affected the relationship that I have with people. And I've been working with Kale on a lot of stuff and social development, behavioral development, trying to discern if he has ADHD through counseling. I'm seeing if I have ADHD because I show signs of it. So it was interesting to watch how he had such low self-esteem about a lot of things. He repressed his own emotions, which I think was indicative of how I was around him. And obviously his relationship with his mother was not healthy. And, you know, we started playing more games and I started focusing a lot of attention on him to make him better. And, you know, like we started playing D&D again, right? And I noticed just how quickly that like boosted his outlook on things. Like he became more positive, he became more creative, problem solving.
Right.
He started to express his emotions through playing, which before he might have been, it might have been difficult for him to like express himself if I was addressing him as Kale. But when you, when I would address him as like his character, this, and it's always a superhero that he wants to be, like I would see emotions about him come through his characters, and I noticed how healthy that was for him, but also me trying to help, you know, grow my son into a, an amazing individual. And then I started thinking, I was like, I've been spending my every single night until like two or not two, probably like one, on like mental health and all this stuff, and just trying to get my head wrapped around it, both scientifically, but also culturally and all this stuff. And I thought to myself, there's so many adults that go through what I've gone through that I've, I'm seeing my, I guess I'll call her my ex for now. See my ex go through, like our children go through. And I was like, maybe D&D is a great way to like bring this out of people, like help them grow as individuals, like help them become heroes in role play, but then apply that to their actual lives. So I'm starting up a project called RP Heroes, which is intended for children and adults who suffer from mental illness. And I will put together in person or even through Zoom sessions like D&D things that have some applicable sense to mental health development. So
there's
a chance for them to fantasize about like being heroes and real life shit that's inside of these modules that I'll create, like these sessions, these adventures, and then apply that to real life learning so that they can develop better about a lot of things.
That's interesting. So it's almost like you get a chance for them to like put down the shield and be a part of a different world that is, but that world creates a connectedness to who they are in reality. Like they get to be who they really are in this world and not feel closed off or sheltered like they would in the real world.
Yeah, it could, and I've seen so many, I've played so many D&D sessions, and I've seen so many D&D sessions that when people play their characters, these made up names, different races, and all this shit,
it's almost like who they want to be. Like they identify as that character.
They want to be, and you notice how quickly their personality influences their character.
Do you think it's all? Do you think it is all strange? Given the fact, like let's psychology this real quick. That every time you and I played a video game where there was two characters in the game, that I was always the black guy.
Yeah, could be.
I think my camera froze. And I got I got a weird expression on my face. Do you at all think that's strange that you were always like the main white guy character and then I was I was always the black guy?
I always played a character I wanted to be, and I always named it a character I wanted to have.
Let's psychoanalyze this real quick. Let's go to like specifically around D&D, because you always pick a character that is up front and center for the most part in the battle. It's usually a warrior type character. Mm-hmm. Where I'm someone who I always pick a character that's effective at distance, which is usually an archer, right? Like that's usually like I am a character of which is like I feel like more risk adverse but can still be a part of like driving a solution in a battle. Right, like I'm just like I'm not as upward facing, I'm not critical in like the face-to-face piece of it, but I can do a lot of things from far distances. I've always picked those characters. I've always picked an archer. Like that is always what I've picked in those games.
Actually, that what you just said struck a chord with me that I didn't even really consider. You mentioned I always play the upfront center, gonna slash the shit out of you with a sword type character, right?
Always. You've always been like a warrior or a paladin or whatever.
I did the Myers-Briggs test, right? Which is a personality test that anybody can take online, right? To figure out what type of personality you are.
Done it. Yep.
Funny as fuck that you mentioned that. Do you know what my persona was for the Myers-Briggs test?
Is the Myers-Briggs one the four quadrants, or is it the...
It's the four, I believe.
Well, I would have to think that like you have like some sort of accelerated or hyper heightened emotional aspect to you.
I was considered ENFJ, which I forget what each one of those stand for. But I was ENFJ, and I was, my title was protagonist, and I shit you not, the character depicted for the Myers-Briggs test that I did was a character with long hair holding a sword and a shield. Swear to fucking Christ.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
ENFJ is the less common types of the population, especially for men. Among men, ENFJ is second rarest type, makes up 3% of the general population. Still doesn't tell me what it is. Yeah, look protagonist as a person with extroverted, intuitive feeling and judging personality traits. These warm, forthright types love helping others. They tend to have strong ideas and values. They back their perspective with the creative energy to achieve their goals. Who should an ENFJ marry? An INFP. Although two well-developed individuals of any type can enjoy healthy relationships, ENFJ's natural partner is the INFP. ENFJ's dominant function of extroverted feeling is best matched with a partner whose dominant function is introverted feeling.
Which is, honestly, Kelsey, which is fucking crazy also to think about that one.
Yeah, you got to wear the pants, bro.
Well,
you got to tell the bitches what's up.
Right now she's wearing them.
Now the tables have turned.
Yeah.
You've turned into a little bitch ISFP.
No,
she's the pants wearing ENFJ.
I'm just extremely patient about what's happened, and I'm making the steps towards change for the better for myself primarily, because I think that'll help everybody around me in my life. But that's fucking crazy when you think about all that. Like, if you take all those historical events that have happened and then match it with what you've learned scientifically,
yeah, dude, there's
match it with what I'm trying to do, it's like, when it clicked in my head a couple weeks back of like, I'm spending all this time on this stuff and it's like, why am I doing it? It's like, well, I want to better myself, but then it's like helping others. It's just like, this sounds like an amazing thing to do.
You know, what's interesting is like, well, if you, and I don't know why we're spitballing this right now on the podcast. I don't know, but let's keep it going. I think what you could do, because the characterization and the way that the game is played, is that each one of the characters and the associated characteristics of those characters should in fact parallel with like more meaningful real life attributes, right? Yes. And I'm only making a suggestion, is probably work with a psychologist on this kind of development, because then they would be able to match those characteristics and say, okay, if you are, let's say, an archer, what are the characteristics of an archer? Well, how do those pair with real, like what someone would feel in real life, like their characterization or their attributes? What would that be? What would the association be? Like, because I know for me, like I already made the connection with, one thing that I liked about archers is that they were essentially safe at a distance. They were risk adverse, which is literally my entire life for the most part. It's like, I always do things in a risk adverse, like very methodical manner. Like everything I do is all about that assessment, right? There's probably something to that. I'm sure a psychologist would be like, yeah, that's exactly what the meaning or character attributes would be like paralleled with this particular character.
Yeah.
So then you can break down the psychology of a kid or anybody who wants to do it.
Yeah. And then take me, who always seems to manage to be thrusted into chaos, but constantly fights to the fucking death.
You know what's interesting about that, though? The pun that's in there is, you said thrust yourself, which is exactly what you had done that developed your second child.
That's true. Hey.
You literally thrusted your way into chaos.
That's true. I have no longer a thrusting, functional flaming sword.
Nope. You can still thrust, but there's no bust.
I have a permanent shield.
Yes, you do. Yeah, no, I like it. We should talk a little bit more about that offline, because I think that's really cool.
Well, that's why you went to back to like, oh my God, you're not going to take psychology courses. I'm looking at, I'm not saying about getting a doctorate or a degree.
No, that's what I meant. Like, you're not going to spend 7 years in school, are you?
No. But I am at this point, just based on what I've currently done, I'm studying clinical psychology.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. You should definitely link up with a psychologist and tell them this idea. Like someone that, I don't know. I know one psychologist. Wait, I know two. I know two psychologists.
Yeah, so, give me their names whenever. Yeah.
I will. I won't do it right now.
Clinical and social psychology are the two areas.
Yeah, I like it. That's very cool. That's a cool idea. I would love to talk to you about it more, but we're on the clock. So
then we're going to get like 10 more comments in the show. Like, why don't you just skip to the fucking reviews?
Skip to the review. No one gives a shit. Well, you know what? This is our podcast. Go fuck yourselves. What?
Fuck. Hold on.
Oh, that's hilarious. I can't wait to fucking edit that in a clip. That's too funny. Did you literally just spill coffee on yourself? Oh, is it bourbon? Oh, it's you spilled bourbon on. What did you get
I'm like that substitute teacher in high school that comes in and you're like, you're not drinking coffee in there, Mr. Allen. We all know it's whiskey.
Yeah. But they're not dumb enough to pour it all over their desk.
See, kids, there's nothing in here. There's just whiskey pours out.
Dude, I'm not drinking at all because I have not eaten anything since like 6 o'clock yesterday. And I'm like, if I drank on the podcast right now, it would be out of control. So I'd rather keep my wits about me.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, let's do this. Episode of Overrated Underrated, which I am always so excited to do, an Overrated Underrated. You ready for this?
Yeah. We gotta do the Overrated Underrated of cigar media eventually.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's
include
tough.
Us in the list. I'll speak candidly about us.
Yeah, but do you want to speak candidly about others? Ooh, is that a death wish? I don't know. Maybe we'll see. We'll find out. all right, let's get into this. First one. Here we go.
What will it be?
Ooh, epic. That's an interesting one.
Can you use it in a sentence?
This cigar is epic. That's actually really terrible in terms of like definition, right?
I feel like I've had one epic cigar and I don't necessarily recall what other cigars they have.
I just had one like last week. As a matter of fact, I reviewed it. It's on my list and it was the Epic Maduro. Here's my thing about Epic. This is probably going to be pretty short. Epic is one of those like weird brands that's been around for a while, but like never really got popularized. You know what I mean? It's just like they're here and they exist, and you'll see them in humidors from time to time. You'll see them kind of smattered throughout the industry. You'll see a little bit of social media, but I'd have to argue that they haven't made a huge impact in terms of notoriety. And they've been around for a little while. So the one that I'd smoked recently was all right. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't epic, as the name would suggest, but it was a decent cigar. I just don't think you see enough in terms of like, and we've talked about this before, if you're going to represent your brand, you're going to represent your cigar, you really got to like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into like creating like demand, you know, demand generation, market generation. I don't know that they've put that together. Maybe they're just targeting someone or somebody different than us. I just don't see a lot in terms of their actual brand just out and about in the industry. So I don't have enough. I don't really don't have enough to say about them. So it's a more of a challenging one.
Yeah, I believe I had the Maduro as well, and I want to say I had it years ago.
You probably did because the Maduro I think came out. The original release was like 2016, so 5 years ago maybe.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I got it at the market.
That could have been a reality as well. That seems like a cigar that they would carry.
I want to say that's where I had one. I don't have any notes to say that struck a chord with me, but I would say that knowing that I don't have any strong memory towards the brand,
right,
is probably indicative of the reasons we don't see them regularly smoked by the cigar community.
Yeah. Yeah, the Maduro Reserva, by the way, came to us in July of 2014. So that's, they're fairly, they've been around, you know what I mean? Like, they're not just, but it just doesn't seem like, do you hear a lot about them? Do you see, like, people hyping up Epic Cigars? You know, one of the, like, the key things to understanding, like, how well a cigar is in terms of success in social media is just look up the hashtag. If you see 5 million hashtag Epic Cigars, then you know they've probably done something right. But I would have to argue that you probably don't see it. So I think from an awareness perspective, it, they're pretty stifled as a brand. It's not to dismiss how good the cigars are. You know, maybe as a whole in a total lineup, they're fucking amazing. I've only had like one as a recent, so it's hard for me to say.
I think at this point, it would be fair and encouraging to say to our audiences of 10 people that, listen, if you see an Epic cigar, do us a favor. Right, yeah. Purchase
yeah.
one,
yeah,
smoke it, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because I don't have any strong memory of the brand outside of the one I smoked, and because I only smoked one, right. makes me think that I didn't find it to be some type of regularly occurring review that or regularly occurring smoke that I was gonna have. So, yeah. But you know. Blends do gradually change over time. It happens.
Yeah. They very well could be epic now.
And they could be amazing now, but I have not had one, I know, for at least a few years.
Yeah. Same. Well, I've had one recently, but it's few and far between as far as like how often I smoke them.
So maybe...
I'm thinking appropriate without... Appropriate? I'm thinking appropriate without any additional context.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Let me. Maybe this is a to be determined.
Maybe just like a ching graphic. Appropriate.
Appropriate. Yeah. We should get one of those. All right. Let's see if we can move on from Epic here. Let's go to the next pick. And oh, I love this little spinny wheel. It's my favorite thing ever. Oh, I feel like we've done Balls Morale before, right? Did we not? How did this end up in the list?
It's Balm Oral, which is...
I'm pretty sure we've done them before, but let's... Hey, for the sake of this, let's do it again. They are overrated.
They're overrated. The price point's a little high, and...
By the way, they're no longer in business, so it really doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, that's true. What was the red one that we had? Like Deuces or what was it called?
No, the Dos Equis. That's a beer.
I forget what it was called.
Yeah, it's the one. So they did two different iterations. I think they were last year where they partnered with manufacturer. One was EP Korea, and I thought one was Lito Gomez. The Duetto is what you're thinking of. Yeah, so they did those two, which I thought the concept around them was really cool. But I think the execution overall was probably not as great as they intended it to be, because neither one of them were super hyped, and then they also weren't that great. And you think both, obviously, I have a high amount of respect for EP Carrillo and Lito Gomez. If I had to rank in terms of like blenders and processing of tobacco, those would be like in my top five for sure. But whatever they did on these just did not click for me. So... disappointed, honestly. The brand overall is a so-so. I do agree that from a little bit of an elevated price point, and again, doesn't really matter because as far as I know, they're gone. Like they're going back to their like cigarette shit. So
a victim of 2020 fatality.
Yeah, definitely develop that graphic. That would be sweet. That would be sweet. So I think we're both stating at this particular moment in time, overrated.
Yes.
Fatality, as Chris said. All right, moving on to the next one. Let's go. Let's go. Spinny wheel of death. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Cavalier. Ooh. Oh, this is an interesting one.
You want to start or me start?
I'll start. Wow. What do I say about Cavalier? Okay, so I've had the black. I've had the white. I like them both. In terms of flavors, I think their cigars are really good. I have had literally nothing but construction issues with their cigars. Now, one was that like Figurado, I think it was Samal, what do they call it? The Solomon? But it was essentially like a Figurado. For whatever reason, every time I get one of these cigars, they just smoke like shit. And it's really frustrating because I like the flavors. I think the cigars themselves are really good. I just have, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, you know.
That's it's got gold leaf. It's just smoke amazing.
That's where COVID-19 came from, smoking that gold leaf. I don't know. I'm just really challenged, honestly. I'm really challenged by just the construction issues I've had. Like, just as many issues that I've had smoking their cigars, despite how good the flavors are. And here's the thing. It's not like, okay, well, I got a 5-pack or whatever of their cigars, and this particular one batch may have just been garbage. Maybe the roller was pissed off that day. Maybe he was going to go home and punch his wife in the face, and he's just had a terrible day. He's just rolling shitty fucking cigar. I don't know. But that's not the case. So it's like in different intervals of receiving these cigars, they all seem to have issues burning. And I don't know why. And it was really frustrating. I actually put it on social media like last year, like, holy shit, I'm smoking another one of these fucking things and having issues with it. And by the way, very controlled conditions. No wind, no humidity, nothing, none of that. It's like very controlled. Just got them. Like, it just, there's just no reason for it.
Yeah. We smoked them together in your garage, in your old house.
That's right. We did. And just so challenging. It's just really frustrating because I think from a flavor perspective, these cigars are really good. Just can't get past just the issues and challenges.
I will say this about Cavalier, okay?
It's also kind of racist. I mean, black, okay. White, come on.
I'm about to be a little pretentious a little bit, but I'm with you.
Why do you have like a Joker face right now? Can we also address that?
It burnt like shit. And it makes smoking them always slightly like anxiety inducing. Like you're like, fuck, I'm gonna have to touch this motherfucker up like
here we go. 10
goddamn times. But here's what I'll say. Their Connecticut that we had, which looks gorgeous. I mean, it's literally just fucking a triangle diamondish gold leaf print on side of this lightly tanned beigey bougie Connecticut wrapper. I have to honestly say that when it burns cool, that particular cigar, it is a very delicious Connecticut. And I know if you've tuned in for as many
episodes. Is it a Connecticut, though? I'm pretty sure it's not. And I was right. The one is the Solomon's Vitola, which good. I think is the...
It looks Connecticut-y to me, but...
don't think it is. Continue.
For such a light wrapper. There, we'll fix it.
The binder's right, Connecticut is Habana wrapper. Continue.
We won't label
him. By the way, the Solomon's Vitola is a 7x50x58. So that's probably why I had issues with it. It's a really fucked up Vitola.
That's true. But I do struggle with Connecticuts in general or lighter shaded cigars. It's like I have to be dark or I have to be green.
Yeah, that is weird. And nothing in between. That was
rude. Nothing in between. But I gotta say, the flavor of that Habano with Connecticut binder, I guess, was a really delicious cigar. And when it ran cool, it tasted great.
Yeah, I'll never dispute the flavor of the cigars. I think they're pretty outstanding.
And it was fun to see what the gold leaf would do when you're burning it, you know?
Right.
Just watching it. It's like, is it going to fall off or curl up? Or am I going to taste gold? Am I going to get gold in my mouth?
Right.
Like, it left you with like, oh my God, I don't know what this is going to do. Yeah, that's it.
Here's the Vitola, by the way. So that's probably why I had some issues. But I think there was a Toro that I smoked too where I had similar issues where it was just
I didn't have the Figurado.
But look at that fucking thing. Jesus Christ.
I think I had a Toro.
Dude, that thing could be used to penetrate a woman while her husband's not home. I'm just saying. Like that is
doesn't it look like a
basically
fucking,
a dildo.
It looks like an Egyptian monument.
Doesn't it look like the Washington Monument a little bit? it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like right here, Chris, can you Photoshop in on this just like a lake in the background and like the and the Lincoln Memorial just sitting there?
I'll put Forrest Gump right here in the front.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah, but
they were good cigars. I do say that while physically it didn't look like anything was wrong with the cigars, I always had weird cracking as I was smoking it, and just I always weird, had right? I outages that I couldn't seem to tame.
Yeah, it was really strange and just often very annoying. It's like I like smoking the cigars, but at some point I'm going to be like, ugh, God, I got to deal with this again. Anyway, I'm going to say because of all the challenges I had, I'm going to say overrated, but if those things get fixed, I would probably say underrated. Not even appropriate. I think it sways one way or the other. I think it's one extreme or the other. Yeah, if they can hit that production quality where it just doesn't go fucking crazy like the ones I smoked did, and they can hit all the points of and continue hitting the points of flavor, I would say they're probably very underrated. But right now, given my experience, which is my experience alone, and I'm sure other people are probably listening to this going, hey, fuckface, these things are amazing. I've never had an issue. Well, guess what? You're not me, so fuck off. I'm going to say overrated slightly.
Flavor, underrated. Quality control, overrated.
Overrated, for sure. Yeah. I'm saying slightly overrated at this point because the flavor is very fantastic. But Jesus Christ, I can't just deal with that many burnishes.
I can't
recall
if they were too expensive, though. I don't think they are.
They're not. They're not terrible. No, pretty good price point, especially on that fat, fucking hefty 7x50x58. Jesus, who created that vitola? It's a nightmare vitola, but I love it. It's one of my favorites.
We've got guys in the East Coast in Jersey and New York that want this fucking thing at like a 7x64.
Yeah, give it. Give him the Hogosa. All right, next one. Here we go. Spinny Wheel of Death. Crux. Oh, hey.
I'll start this off by just saying smart move with the rebrand.
Totally. Killed it with the rebrand, by the way.
Because guess what? Not just we're starting to look a little bit like Epic.
They were looking just like Epic. I'm pretty sure at one time I thought they were the same company, which they could have been. Dude, Crux rebrand is one of the best rebrands I've seen in cigars.
Yeah.
The consistency around it, dude, it's clean, it's crisp, it's consistent. The colors are fucking cool. The logo is awesome and it's simple. They, in my opinion, and they rebranded, like, their whole packaging design is completely different. Their rebrand strategy in the cigar industry is one of the best I've ever seen. It is just a total fucking transition from super mediocre to, hey, we're like, look at us. Look at this shit. I mean, they look great. Now, rebrand aside, the cigars themselves, worth it? Think they're good?
Yeah,
they're good. They're pretty good. Yeah, so they blend most of the stuff at the Placencia factory, which, come on. And I've said this before. There's so many fucking people. I mean, I don't know how many times I have to reiterate this, but I'm going to do it again. I've literally had people message me, like, when we've done reviews of Placencias, and people are like, oh, $23 for that cigar is too expensive. And then I've got to respond and go, you want a Placencia cigar? Here's who you go by these, right? So Crux for the longest time has been blending almost exclusively a Placencia. The only thing I think is an exception is AJ Fernandez, and that's the Epicure Maduro. Everything else is blended Placencia. And they're really, really affordable cigars, and they're fucking delicious. I think Crux overall as a brand is super underrated. There should be more notoriety. They should be bigger as an organization, more just kind of like broadcast and social media than they are, because from a rebranding strategy perspective and how good their cigars are, I just think they're really underrated.
Yeah.
Cool company, good owners. Like, I like them a lot. I really do. I like the company as a whole, and I agree. That rebranding strategy, man, they just fucking nailed it. They nailed it. Think they're great.
Yep. So, I would say underrated as well. Yeah. It's hard to deny that their Epicure line doesn't have something you'll like.
Yeah, agreed. So Chris, who have we done at this point that I can knock off my list here?
We've done
Balmorals.
Balmoral.
Balmoral.
Oral Balm. Yeah. And then
we've done Crux.
Crux, yeah.
Listeners, count them down with us. Who else did we do? There was one in between.
Help us find which name we left off the list.
Cavalier. That's the one.
That's right. Cavalier. I feel like we're doing an episode of like fucking
Reading
Dora
Rainbow.
The Explorer.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for
like,
sure.
Like trying to be interactive
yeah.
with an audience that can't really truly respond.
Yeah. Yeah, this is interactive. We can make it like that though. Like press pause on your TV. Click one or two to go this way or this way. All right. Let's get back at it real quick. Here we go.
Oh, fuck me running.
Okay, so hold on. Before either of us...
You don't even know the brand yet.
The brand is Gurkha.
You're watching the screen.
The brand is Gurkha. Before we get into this, do we want a short explanation or long explanation? If it's a long explanation, this is likely going to be our last one. If it's a short explanation, then we'll probably keep going.
Let's do long.
Long explanation?
Yeah.
Do you want the privilege of starting this, or do you want me to go on my what is going to be a very severe rant?
I have just a handful of words.
I thought you wanted to do long.
I do. I'm definitely going to participate in the picketing and pitchforks and fucking torches. I'm going to join you.
Hey, easy there, Trump. Easy there, Trump. Settle down.
But I'm going to say this. All right. No other brand. I mean, no other brand makes $1 million fucking cigar.
Yeah. No other. Is it a million though? I don't think it's that high, is it? But it's obnoxious.
It's $1 million.
Yeah. fuck. Where do I... Also, no other brand has an insanely racist president. No other brand besides Gurkha. All right. Here we go. What do I like about Gurkha?
They make the industry money.
I like that Gurkha... partner with Makers, and Makers is my favorite bourbon.
But this cigar sucks.
It does. I like Makers, so I'm trying to find... Listen,
hey,
for the 30 bad things I'm getting ready to say, I at least need to find one thing I like about
it. Hey, it is important in this world, especially.
I got something.
You have to find something that you appreciate about even your enemies. You have to understand the enemies and appreciate.
Now, I'm not going to call Gurkha our enemy, but...
And empathize with your enemies.
Here's one thing, one positive. I feel like I'm in like an AA meeting. Here's one positive thing I can say. Here's one positive thing I can say about Gurkha, and I'm being very authentic. If you take a Gurkha Evil, not even sure they're even still around, but if you take a Gurkha Evil... and you let it sit for 5 years, it's going to be a pretty good cigar, objectively. Because I've done it. I've smoked them. My brother-in-law had a ton of those fucking cigars. And I remember, it was like sometime last year, we just cracked, and it was from his wedding, so I know that they're older. And we decided to smoke like, I don't know, like two or three of them or whatever. And they were surprisingly very delicious. Dark Maduro wrapper, very firm, nice cigar, toothy wrapper. Very well made. Those Gurkha Evils were really good. Now, here's
you know
the 30 things I don't
about
like.
That,
what's that?
That you had to wait that long.
Yeah. They just completely changed. Wasn't even the same cigar at that point. But Gurkha as a whole, I'm really challenged by the gimmick. I'm challenged by the pricing. I'm challenged by the product. I'm challenged by its representation in the industry as a whole. I'm challenged by their leadership team. Obviously, dude said some really squirrely shit, which I don't even know if he's there anymore. I think he stepped down. Overall, their product, what they produce, is, in my opinion, when you compare it to baseline other cigars, is very subpar. Overall, subpar. I think their branding sucks. Like, it's weird because you know what they remind me of? I'm really struggling to articulate my displeasure around the brand, but I think this will hit. Gurkha is a very, very popular brand. Do you know who a popular band is? Nickelback. There's a lot of people that love Nickelback, but there's even more people that hate Nickelback, and that's Gurkha. Gurkha is the Nickelback of the cigar industry.
Mm. So it's a ratio thing. It's like, yeah, in numbers, the numbers it's like speak
you got
volumes.
You got your fucking following, right? You've got your weirdos who love you, and they love you. But then there's just a significant portion of the population, numbers-wise, that thinks you're atrocious. Gurkha is the Nickelback of the cigar industry. There, I said it.
Listen, I would never detest anybody who buys Gurkha and smokes them and says they love them. That is to each their own. I would not judge an individual based on things that make them happy or things that they love. For sure. Would never judge you. Me personally, I'd be an idiot knowing me to continue to put any money into a Gurkha product that sustains them just that little bit longer.
Yeah.
And I fell victim to it. They were Gurkhaing my chain, you know? And I caved and bought. It was like that. I don't even remember what it's called. It was like something reserved, but it was a candle. It was in a tubo. It was in a clear tubo. And the cap was encased in red wax. And it was an infused Gurkha cigar that had this, what I could only describe at the time to Corey when we were sitting on the back of our old condo, was raspberries. Now, I can't recall many cigars in the industry that say, hey, our shit tastes like raspberries. Unless you start thinking about Swisher Sweets and some of the adjacent types of smoking experiences that people have in the tobacco industry. Right. And I felt just as cheap to smoke that as I would have felt just as cheap to walk into a cigar humidor and decide to buy Swisher Sweets.
Right. Which I've done.
So,
admittedly,
I don't think you'll ever see me buy a Gurkha again unless we get 1,000 subscriptions and likes on this next YouTube video, and I will buy the next hottest goddamn Gurkha, and I will smoke it and review it. And I'll tell you I love it because, you know why? Because we got that 1,000 likes on that YouTube video.
That's true. We need them.
Overrated, man.
Overrated for sure. There you go. There's the Gurkha $1 million
Gurkha. That's the million.
The Royal.
And by the way, guess what? That $1 million tobacco, the only way that $1 million tobacco was made $1 million is because they infused it with a $250,000 bottle of like brandy.
Yeah, there's some weird shit in
or
it.
Or wine or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. I think it is. It's 150. Oh, it's a cognac. It's a $165,000 bottle of cognac.
Yeah.
Is infused.
Yeah.
So that's, by the way, hey, that's Gurkha for you.
They didn't use the whole bottle.
Yeah. It's like one drop, like a little dropper.
Like, seriously.
So there you go. There's the $1 million Gurkha. Chris, the $1 million question: overrated, underrated, or appropriate for the industry? What are your thoughts?
Super underrated. I think that cigar could go for $2 million, Corey.
And for the price of a Bugatti, you can have a cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, overrated for sure.
Probably the most overrated brand in the cigar industry. One that is, you know, highly talked about and is, everybody knows Gurkha And hey. So it again, the Nickelback of the cigar world. There you go.
Can you think of a name off the top of your head which would be like runner up to the most overrated?
Like the next, the brand down off of
Gurkha? Yeah. If Gurkha was, because I feel like
Gurkha's the king, right?
Gurkha's king.
Yeah.
But I wonder, is there such a disparity that Gurkha
there's a disparity.
Is one and only?
Yes.
One and only.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of like the second place is there's such a huge bell curve that even the next second place, they're more closely related to like the lower.
Second place isn't anywhere near.
Yeah.
Anywhere near Gurkha.
Yeah, that's what I was.
So we got to be careful when second place comes up, like how, how hard we go in the paint on it. You know what I mean? Because
it's like the difference between like here's second place and here's Gurkha.
Yeah, yeah, and it really is. I think it really is that way. I don't know that I could name the second place, but I'm telling you right now, there's no other brand that I know of that I would say is on par with Gurkha in terms of what we just said. And quite honestly, I could have made that real worse. I could have made that much more worse than what I did. I just am so exhausted that I don't know that I can find the words to properly express my dislike towards the brand as a whole.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say overrated. All right, let's do one more. Let's do one more. And we'll finish it strong with one more. Spin. Hopefully it's a positive and not a negative. Here we go. Oh,
hey.
Very interesting. Okay. I'll figure, baby. Agonorsa is next on the list. Do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Them as a factory, them as blenders, them as subcontractors to a lot of the brands you probably wouldn't even realize are made from Agonorsa.
There's a lot of them.
They make some good ass shit, people.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They make some good ass shit that I've seen rival premiumly priced cigars. But more often than not, I find Agonorsa actually competitively prices themselves with a lot of the brands they subcontract with. It's really hard to dispute, in my opinion, that Agonorsa as an organization is probably on par with where they should be, because of how well they make cigars, how great they taste, and how well priced they can be. And that's an asterisk, how priced they can be. That I feel like they're really nailing right where they should be as a personal brand, as like their own cigars, but also what they do for other people. Like they're a contender for sure.
Yeah.
They're a contender. And part of me almost wants to say underrated. But part of me realizes that I think they're really nailing it right now, that I think they're right where they should be.
Yeah, it's I won't disagree with any of the points you made. I actually agree with them for the most part. Contract brands, they do a wonderful job for, right? There's really not a lot that's diminished in terms of the subcontract part. As a matter of fact, see, some of the better cigars that they produce are subcontracted cigars.
You would never know it.
Use Luzione as the example, right?
Yeah.
There's stuff that they make. There's some really like the Signature Selección, really good. I don't like the JFR stuff because I don't like the large vitolas. I think those smoke like shit and they taste like shit. I don't say taste like shit. I just don't like them. They're not good. It would probably be probably the least favorable thing that Agonorsa makes, in my opinion, under their own branding. But as a whole, there's something to be said for the fact that like everybody wants to make a cigar with Agonorsa. I think part of it is that they make it easy to contract with. If you go to Agonorsa with $50,000 and say you want your own cigar, they're going to make it for you. They're not going to turn you away, right? They're a business, and that's what they do really well. So I appreciate that about who they are, and I like that they have their own cigars and that they continue to develop them, right? The Rare Leaf Reserve, they have the new Supreme or newer Supreme that's out. Like, you know, they create some hype around their own stuff, which I think is great, but they've certainly do a great job contracting for others. I agree with you. I think they're appropriate. I do think they're closer to the underrated in terms of just like, you can't dispute that their name is just in existence in the cigar world. And everybody knows Aganorsa. Everybody knows Aganorsa. And they know the cigars that contract with Aganorsa. There's so many. I do think they're appropriate for what they do and how big they are and the utilization of their tobacco and their processes. Now, I think they're about where they should be.
Now, there's some people that might say Aganorsa is a little bit of an industry whore.
That is, yep, that could be said. Yep.
You know, she gets around. At a certain point, you start to wonder like, oh man, I got to dip in after that brand.
Yeah, like am I really getting the best or am I getting the sloppy seconds? You're probably getting some of the sloppy 30 seconds if we're being honest.
Yeah. At this point in the industry, if you're going to create your own brand, I would caution that there's a lot of people that have dipped their sticks into the Aganorsa well. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you might be not in a good competitive advantage by going with Aganorsa.
Yeah, you're probably getting a lot of that loose leaf, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting the leftovers. Yeah. Huh?
Yep. You're getting the stuff that hasn't been deveined, if you know what I'm saying.
Listen, I put this thing in my mouth. It's starting to taste like that other man, you know? So you got to be real careful with Aganorsa. So
Aganorsa, the contract whores of the industry.
I'm not saying don't go with them if you don't find them attractive. All I'm saying is know where they came from. But also, there's a lot of other fish in the sea, and you don't have to just settle on that one. There's a lot of other great fishes in the sea.
It is true. There really are. I mean, there's a lot of factories you can contract with now, but Aganorsa has created such a great reputation for themselves and deservingly so. I see very appropriate for the industry, and they continue doing great things. So, obviously, we're joking about a lot of this, so, you know, Aganorsa, anybody.
They're quality.
If you're listening, don't.
There's a reason that people flock to them.
Yeah, don't be mad at us.
Hands down. Yeah. Like if you were hiring an escort service and you said I wanted your top girl.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, you mean Aganorsa?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I want that.
And you're gonna pay for.
And I don't mean bitch. I don't want to be sexist about this when I say that, but just know that they're like the go-to, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
they're the ones that a lot of people want.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. Yeah, I mean, you just think about the different brands, man. There's a ton of them. Not that I'm going to name them right now. You know who they are. All right, I think the Aganorsa was a good one to end on. I think it's about that time. Let's call it quits. That was another great round of overrated, underrated. Literally my favorite episodes do. But as I've said before, we're eventually going to run out. So can't do them that often. There'd be nice little quarterly surprises for you.
The next one is overrated, underrated fans. We're going to pick your asses apart.
God, that's not a terrible idea. It's not a terrible idea. All right. Visit our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack. This month's pack was really awesome. It was a Foundation Cigar Takeover. So I believe what I saw in the pack was the Connecticut, the Habano Charter Oak, the El Mawinse, the Wise Man Maduro, and the original Tabernacle. I'm pretty sure were the five that are in there. I think I said those correctly. And then also the factory direct stuff as well. Can't remember what it's called, but I smoke them and they're really good. So, visit My Cigar Pack, www.mycigarpack.com. Don't know if our promo code is activated yet for this month. Actually, no, we're still in April, so it's not. It'll be turned back on in May timeframe.
If you try it, blame them. And we blame absolve them. Any. We have anonymity.
Yeah.
Anonymity.
So, yeah, visit them, www.mycigarpack.com for your subscription now. Both to the regular offering and the factory direct stuff, which I'm telling you right now, I'm not exaggerating you, for the price, literally fucking phenomenal cigars. Like,
if you phenomenal. If you don't support it, you're a piece of shit, and I'll tell you why. There is so much creative ingenuity that all of the top brands and up-and-coming brands are trying to create in the industry. Okay? and they've got a lot of cool ideas, but they need people to test them out. They need people to get an idea of what works and what doesn't. And I think Factory Direct is a great platform for you to try out some shit that these brands and manufacturers want to try. They want to break the bounds. They want to break and shatter the glass ceilings that they have set or the industry has set upon them. They want to do some creative shit. And this Factory Direct is a great opportunity for you to try out some of this creative shit. So fucking back it.
Yeah, that's really well said. I like it. All right. Also, you can visit our website, www.hotticketweekly.com, for reviews, anything that you want to see in terms of the reviews you do, the podcast, the episodes, everything. Don't know what my review was this week. Pretty sure I don't have a graphic for it yet, but you will see that soon, and I will post that out on social media. So there'll be a review up soon, but you can check out all the other reviews, 2020, 2021 releases, and then anything previous to that. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, whoops.
Sorry, I should have let you know.
Yeah, that's my bad. So I'll post that. And it is a cigar I guarantee that you've never heard of before, but I really like the name of it. So I will post that on social media and you'll see it. You can check that on our site now, www.hotticketweekly.com. I will also say this. If you're listening to this now, we are at the close of our Hiram and Solomon giveaway. I want to thank all the participants in that giveaway. Dude, record breaking. Very, very difficult for me to keep up with how many people actually participated in this giveaway. If you're listening to this, the winners have already been selected but not announced. But we had over 200 entries into the giveaway, which is phenomenal. You know, one of the things I wanted to do was heighten what we were doing in YouTube and really create a focus around our YouTube videos from a podcast perspective. And we had, I think, 113 new YouTube subscribers in the last week, which is awesome. You guys are fucking fantastic. I really, really enjoyed, you know, it's weird because I've been adamantly against giveaways for a long time and we've done just a few recently and I really enjoy doing them actually. It's very fun because I just like giving people shit. It's very fun for me. It's cool as fuck. I appreciate everybody's participation. It's very, very nice.
Let's just make sure that this relationship that we've established with you is not superficial and that you're just here to get free shit.
Yeah, like, you should actually watch the videos. They're great.
Like, we want to bond with you, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, don't leave.
Yeah. Don't speak.
Don't leave me. No, I don't have your cigar graphic, by the way. It is literally here, but I didn't upload it. So that would explain a lot of things.
You are a piece of shit, aren't you?
That would explain it.
Yep.
That would explain it.
Hey, you should psychoanalyze yourself and understand that you have commitment issues.
No, I'm blaming this on ADHD, bro. It's okay. Undiagnosed, but I'm pretty sure that's the cause.
Yeah. All right. Well, you'll know soon enough. All right. Please subscribe on YouTube. And there's going to be a subscribe button literally right there. Right? Nope, not where Chris is at. Where I'm at. There's going to be a subscribe button. Maybe I'll do two of them.
Oh, my God. I can't put my hands in your screen.
Chris, your arms are gone. What happened? So subscribe to us on YouTube for sure. You'll like the videos we're doing. You'll see full episodes and you'll see cigar reviews only. So for those of you who don't like the really fun shit that's a part of our show, like arguably the coolest content, you know, you'll be able to watch the cigar review. The really boring shit. It's not boring. They're really fun. It won't matter on this episode though, because this is overrated and underrated, and you're gonna see the whole goddamn thing, and you're gonna love it because these episodes are fun. All right, that's all I got. I'm fucking starving. I think my blood glucose levels are going haywire right now. So I'm going to get something to eat. It's been a pleasure as always. Thanks everybody for listening. This will conclude episode 195. We're steamrolling right into 200. We're getting close. It's insane. So we'll be back at you next week with episode 196. See everyone. Thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of myself at the Hot Ticket Pod on Instagram. You can get a hold of Chris at Hot Ticket Chris on Instagram as well. You can find this podcast. It is available all over the place. You can find it on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. And you can find the podcast available on video on YouTube. Look up the Hot Ticket Weekly on YouTube, and you can watch all the fun happen before your eyes.
Thanks everybody for listening to this episode. And as always, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you could. And check out our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back at you next week.